Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. I guess I don't need the headset because it ain't nobody but me here today. Just Brian Haydad with you. Apparently, Carlo tells me the worst power outage in the history of the state of Indiana or something like that. They're still without power up there. So, no Carlo with us today. He's got no way to join us. That's all right. We'll get it done here today. Thanks, you guys, for joining me here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way. The trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, it's no problem. It's over to Strange Brew StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with a click at StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you are, and I decided that's what I'm doing. I saw a video last night for these homemade roast beef sandwiches. I was like, Yeah, so I've got a couple of nice roasts. We're going to give those a good smoke. And, to a high moral standard, as Jerry Clower might say. And we're gonna enjoy some roast beef in the Haydad household this weekend. And that could be you. Just go to the grocery store right now. They got a lot of cuts. They all taste great over the grill. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for in Mississippi State, you know you're going to find it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, we want to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not just by your account number. A banker that's going to give you a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. A little later in the show, another opponent preview. We've got to get caught up. The Missouri Tigers are on the docket for us today, and our friend Callum McAndrew of the Columbia Tribune will join us. But I had this idea, and we'll see how it translates here, but I wanted to talk about improvement, right? And tangible improvement. Is this Mississippi State team going to be better this year? And how much improvement have we truly seen since Jeff Lebby's first season here in Starkville? So the idea I had was, well, why don't I just look at the depth chart of what's, projected to be the depth chart. Burned myself. You see that? Good thing about working in the restaurant business as long as I did, it didn't hurt. I gotta like be on the surface of the sun with my hand to get to actually be feel any pain. This on the other hand did hurt. I don't know if you guys can you see? Yeah, kitten got me. He's a wild one. So that hurt. That did not hurt. My thought process was, let's look at the depth chart from week one of the 2024 season. Let's compare it to the depth chart that you have that, again, it's preliminary, but I think we can feel like we can flesh it out, and we're going to flesh it out next week when we do the all-22s. How many guys would actually start in 2024? How many of those guys would start for Mississippi State this season? And I think, just glancing over it, I think it's going to probably go the way you think it's going to go, but maybe this is like a little confirmation bias happening here. Maybe, it's just, the team's better, but I think maybe saying it out loud and seeing how much better might go a long way. So let's just start. I got the week one depth chart. I got the week one participation chart, I should say, up here. These were the starters for week one. So we'll start at quarterback, obviously with Blake Shapen. I don't think there's any question that Kamario Taylor would, you know, this version of Kamario Taylor would start over Blake Chapin. I don't think there's going to be any debate about that. Now, look, I am, you know, I'm not a Chapin apologist by any stretch of the imagination, but the state's offensive line last year was so bad that it didn't really matter. Did he make some excuse me, some mistakes? Of course he did. Do I pin a lot of what happened in the Florida game on him? Of course I do. But Chapin was playing with a loaded deck against him. So, you know, he was never as bad as a lot of people wanted to make him be. That said, Kamari Taylor athletically just so far superior to Blake Chapin. So, yeah, Taylor's getting the nod there. Running back. Might be surprised who started that first game. It was not Devon Booth. It was Kevon Lee. He got the start against Eastern Kentucky in 2024. I would very clearly choose Fluff Bothwell over Kevon Lee. No questions asked, in my opinion. I think that's an easy choice there. So, hey, two for two. All right, your wide receivers. I remember Kelly Akari was out. I know that makes a huge difference, but your starting wide receivers were Kevin Coleman, Jordan Mosley, and Creed Whittemore. So Mosley and Whittemore, let's talk about them first. First off, unbelievable that Creed Whittemore was starting. If you made me guess right now, Marquise Johnson on one side, probably Aiden Williams to start this year. I definitely take Marquise Johnson over Creed Whittemore. Mosley was a look, I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you that Jordan Mosley was the second coming of Randy Moss or anything, but as a team's fourth wide receiver, he was okay. I mean, if that's your fourth best wide receiver, it's not that bad. That said, I would still go, I think I'll go Aiden Williams. I think I feel like the ceiling is definitely higher for him. Now let's have a real debate. Kevin Coleman or Anthony Evans? So Coleman's 1 year at Mississippi State. Let me get the stats up for him. I believe it was 70. Get the stats here. Where are you, buddy? Here we go. 74 catches for Kevin Coleman in 2024. With, yeah, 74 catches, 932 yards, 6 touchdowns. Anthony Evans last year. Now, got to remember in that situation that Coleman is far and away the leading receiver on this football team. It's not even close. Whereas last year, Evans had to, you know, share some of the wealth with Brennan Thompson. 67 for 831 and 4 touchdowns. Fewer catches, fewer yards. Was it fewer touchdowns? I've literally already forgotten. He had more touchdowns. So Coleman has more touchdowns, more catches, and more yards. With a worse quarterback situation, I think we have to go Coleman here. I think we have to go Kevin Coleman here. I love Anthony Evans. I think he's going to be a huge piece for Mississippi State. He's got a real chance to have a tremendous year. But 2024 Kevin Coleman, I would take him over 2026 Anthony Evans. Tight end, Sadu Traore, I would take him over Sam West. I think we would all agree on that, that if Traore was back for Mississippi State this year, he would be starting. I don't think anybody would argue with that. Here's your offensive line. We'll go left to right. Mecalen Pounders, Ethan Miner, Jacoby Jackson, Albert Reese, Marlon Martinez. I would take back Miner and Reese for sure. If you could give me Miner at left guard, Reese at right guard, with Cannon Boone at center, and then what, Shumpert Perkins and McVay or Steen. The two that I would take are Ethan Miner and Albert Reese. So of your 11 starters, I'm taking four out of that 11 to start this year. So your starting lineup offensively would be Kamario Taylor, Fluff Bothwell, your three receivers, Marquise Johnson, Aiden Williams, and Kevin Coleman. And then going left to right, I would go Jakeem Shumpert Perkins, Ethan Miner, Cannon Boone, Albert Reese, Blake Steen. And that's just, again, I'm just looking at one of these websites. That may not be what the week one depth chart is, but if that, I would take that. I would take that. I'd feel actually pretty good about it, to be honest with you. If Miner and Reese were on this team playing guard, You'd feel like State's offensive line might be okay. Coleman with Anthony Evans backing him up, that's a huge one there. That's a good group, I think. It's a good group. All right, let's switch over to defense now. How many will we get here? So, you're starting defensive line week one. Three-man front. Suleiman Kapaka, Demonte Russell, Kedrick Bingley-Jones. I mean, Bingley-Jones got run out of here. I mean, I shouldn't say it like that. He was told that he had a better opportunity elsewhere. Incredibly, it's at Alabama. So at that nose tackle, that defensive tackle over the guy position, State right now, their three-man front is Will Whitson, Jahrae Bledsoe, and Daylon Evans. I'm definitely taking Evans over Kapaka. I'm definitely taking Whitson over Demonte Russell. And then, I would take. Hold on a second. I would take Bledsoe. Ooh, would I take Bledsoe over Bingley Jones? I mean, I guess I technically have to, right? Because that's what Mississippi State did. That's the decision that was made. My guess is they probably could have kept one or the other. If they had told Bingley Jones you're likely going to be the starter, he'd still be here. I'm switching all three. So all three of your starting defensive linemen from 2024, none of them make the cut to start in 2026. Linebackers Stone Blanton, Ty Cooper, and Nick Mitchell. Goodness. Ty Cooper for sure. I mean, he's kind of like the edge at this point. I'm definitely going with Amari Williams there. I've seen what I got out of Ty Cooper. I don't want that. I don't want that. I'd rather just take my chances. I mean, if I could go Darian Gillette there, that I would rather have that as well. Do I want Tyler Lockhart or Stone Blanton? Blanton was a player that, like, because everybody around him was so bad, he wasn't terrible. He was not as bad as sometimes he was made out to be. But I like the ceiling on Tyler Lockhart a lot better. I'm kind of taking, maybe a little bit higher floor with Stone Blanton, but a much higher ceiling with Tyler Lockhart. I'll go with him. Nick Mitchell versus Zachary Tillman is interesting because, Mitchell played for Arnett his first year as head coach in 2023, his only year as head coach. Would he give him the start over Zachary Tillman? I don't think so. I think I'm getting all three linebackers too. I'm going to take Williams, Lockhart, and Tillman over Blanton, Mitchell, and Cooper. All right. In the secondary, one thing we don't have to do is change one cornerback because Kelly Jones started that first game. We're good to go. We'll take 2026 Kelly Jones for sure. The other starting corner was Bryce Pohlak. I mean, I would absolutely take him right now, 100% over whoever you want to put over there on the other side. Be that, Jet Jefferson, Jamrock Grimsley, whoever it is. If I could have Bryce, I've got the best cornerback duo I've had since what? Emerson and Forbes. You want to go back to Smoot and Bean? I'm really, really good at corner if I could get Bryce back. At safety, one of them is Isaac Smith. Don't have to make any change there. Brylon Lanier, or let's see, he was the nickel safety. So that's where Isaac is now. So how do I want to do this? Do I want to just have the same three guys, or do I want to look by position? If I have to go with the nickel safety and it's between Brylon Lanier and Isaac Smith, I'll go Isaac Smith there. So maybe we just change that up. So Isaac Smith knocks out Brylon. Well, but then I have to go. So free safety, I've got Marcus Williams versus freshman. Okay, no. I see where I'm going here. Senior Isaac Smith, yes, he's in. Marcus Williams over freshman Isaac Smith, sure. The other safety, Jordan Gilbert or Hunter Washington. I mean, I think we'll take our chances with Jordan Gilbert. I'll take my chances with Gilbert Gottfried if we're being completely honest there. So we're going 11 for 11 here. We're switching out everybody. That's tangible improvement, right? If I were having to have, I mean, a couple of the debates on the offensive side of the ball, right? But they're at the spots we have, two of them are at the spots we have questions about. That's the offensive line and the tight end, right? It shouldn't come as any surprise that we are having to, that we would debate offensive line positions, bringing other guys in, because we just don't know enough about the five that are going to block for Mississippi State this year. The other side of that is, Sadu Traore, proven commodity. If he were here, there's no question in anybody's mind, right, that if Sadu Traore had gotten another year of eligibility, he would be starting for Mississippi, or if he, I guess, he got drafted, but if he could be here, he would be starting for Mississippi State. I don't think anybody would have any question about that. The only one where there's like a real debate between two really good players is that slot receiver, and Coleman is just outproduced Evans. It's just simple as that. So how many do we get then? Out of 22, 18 of the 2026 starters would still be on the starting lineup. That's tangible improvement. That is, I've been trying to find some optimism. You guys know me. You know how I operate. But there just can't be any questions about, well, is this team any better than it was? They clearly are. They clearly are. And I mean, even when you look at some of the backups, right? Would I take Sanfrisco McGee over Jordan Mosley? Probably. Would I take? I'm just looking at the list here. I mentioned the Jack position over Ty Cooper. I would take Amari Williams and Darian Gillette there. I would take Jare Bledsoe and Calvin Dinkins over Kedrick Bentley-Jones. I would take Will Whitson and Trevion Williams over Demonte Russell. I would take Daylon Evans and DJ Reed over Suleiman Kapaka. So it's not just that you're better on the starting lineup. You've got better backups as well. You've got guys who are backups for you this year who would have been starters for Lebby in year one. I don't think there's any question about that. The current version of Calvin Dinkins, the current version of Trevion Williams would start for Mississippi State in 2024. They are not likely to start this year. So that's tangible improvement. That's something that you can point to and say, okay, he has clearly improved the roster. We feel like, so again, let's just play the game here. Let's just play the game of optimism. Let's spin the wheel. You got a better roster. You got a better coaching staff, right? Arnett, better than Hutzler. I think we would all agree with that. I love David Turner. The guy is a legend. There's no denying his legacy. But these last 2 years, that defensive line has just not been great. I don't know a lot about Ty Warren, but, I know that he's a great player. And if he can translate that, and, talking to him, I felt good about it. Matt Brock being back on staff, huge upgrade. And then on the offensive side of the ball, the experience of Kevin Johns and Philip Montgomery, those are upgrades, in my opinion. So upgraded staff, upgraded roster. Shouldn't that mean upgraded results? It should. It absolutely should. What's the constant? It's Jeff Lebby. So it's just about, is Lebby improved? That's where we have to, if we're looking at it from a depth chart perspective. Is 2026 Jeff Lebby a better coach than 2024 Jeff Lebby? I think he's going to be. He's definitely, he's gained experience. He understands the differences between what he did then and what he has to do now. I think he's learned from his mistakes. This is the kind of stuff that, again, I keep coming back to it. If you want to be optimistic, if you want to believe in this team taking a big step forward, that's fine. Because there's a lot of real evidence that they're going to be. I myself, yes, I keep saying I'm going to watch at least one game before I dive in. Either way, right? Like, if you said, give me your prediction right now, I mean, I'm probably in that 6-6 range. But what I see that first week against ULM could bump me up a win, could bump me down a win, take me down a win. It really is. I want to see this team play. I wish I could go out to the scrimmage this weekend, which, by the way, I don't know if I've mentioned that. First scrimmage of the fall, I'm so sorry. That's my mistake. Of the preseason is Sunday night. We'll talk to Jeff Lebby after that scrimmage. Not open to the media, though, so we won't have any, I won't have any notes for you or anything. I'm sure Robbie will get some, Robbie Falk, who, of course, no longer with us. But I'm sure he'll have some notes, via his position, which is fine. That's, he worked, he doesn't work for the university, but you know what we're saying. I'll read his report and I'll take from it. I'm gonna steal your information, Robbie. Just go ahead and let you know. Y'all let him know that I'm stealing it. Tell him straight up that I'm just gonna steal his info. I'll give him credit for it, but it will be stolen. Be like, as reported by Robbie Faulk, this stuff like that. So looking forward to seeing what Lebby has to say after that first scrimmage. But when you do this side by side comparison, it's noticeable. It's a stark difference. And the guys that are, there's only one position on the field where I'm making a choice between two guys that both performed well, right? The two offensive line positions I mentioned and the tight end are all three guys that have not done a whole lot. It's not like I'm saying, well, this guy did this and this guy did that, and I'm going to take this guy. It's this guy did this, and these other guys haven't done anything. Only Coleman versus Evans is a real true debate in that situation. And look, if you'd said, if you're listening right now, you're like, no, I would definitely go Anthony Evans. I won't argue. I won't shout you down. Evans is a great player, fantastic football player. Going to have a huge year for Mississippi State. But that's real improvement. You can't take that away from Jeff Lebby. He has made the roster better. The lineup is better today than it was August 13th of 2024. There's no getting around that fact. All right, let's move into this opponent preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. I didn't know a croque monsieur reheated as well as it did, but I from when we went to dinner the other night, there was still a half sandwich. My daughter didn't eat the whole thing, and so I was like, I'm just gonna eat that for lunch today and put that in the oven for a few minutes and let that bubble up again. It's just as good the next day. So, the Older Brother, great dinner. I've been really pleased the two times I've gone there. Two Brothers, I've been pleased every time I've ever gone. I have never gone to Two Brothers and had a bad experience. It just has never happened for me. If you have, I'm sorry. That you can just talk to those guys and they'll make it right by you because the service is just as good as the food there. But for me, I've never had a bad experience with Two Brothers, and I don't plan to anytime soon. I love eating at Two Brothers. You will too. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. Do you need technology for your business? Do you need a new copier or new printers? New laptops or computers, you need to call my friends at Advantage Business Systems because not only will they get you the product, you know that once they walk out the door, they're going to come back whenever you need them to. And that's the difference, right? That's service after the sale. You don't get that with everybody. Anybody can sell you a printer. Who's there when the printer doesn't work? And who's telling you, okay, well, we can be out there in a week to 10 days? Your printer in your office doesn't work for a week to 10 days. How does that work for you? It doesn't. That's why you need to talk to people here in the great state of Mississippi, my friends at Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for great Mississippi State gear? You're going to find it at Maroon & Co. Everything Mississippi State. Nobody in the Golden Triangle with a bigger, better, wider, or more unique selection than the guys over at Maroon & Co. And best of all, we'll save you a little money. Use our promo code THUNDER15, takes 15% off the regular price. Some exclusions do apply. I'm still waiting to find out what those exclusions are. If you're going to be in Starkville soon, and you know that you are, make sure you're making a trip to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. The weekend is almost here, guys, at this point. I mean, we're sitting here on a Friday morning. We're thinking about the weekend, but part of that is, hey, I got to spend a little time out there in the yard this weekend. I got to get the grass mowed. You want to do it quickly. You want your yard to be the envy of the neighborhood. You need a John Deere mower. And my friends at Scruggs can certainly make that happen for you. No matter how big your property is, Scruggs has the right size John Deere product for you. And if you're not out, you're going to be out on, once you get done in the yard and you want to get out in the woods, a John Deere Gator is certainly a helpful tool in that endeavor. They've got those as well. Nobody with more John Deere green than our guys over at Scruggs. Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber. That's the name to know, and more importantly, the name to trust. If you're trying to buy or sell land right now, Good Hope Land and Timber will absolutely help you with that purchase. Doesn't matter if it's just a couple hundred or a couple of thousand acres, they've got you covered. But more importantly, if you're already a landowner and you just need help with your land, managing your land, your resources, your timber, Good Hope Land and Timber certainly can help you with that as well. Give them a call today. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field. 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, we are to week four of the – did we actually get it right, by the way? Let me see here. Let's look at a calendar. I always screw this up. Rob Hadaway, loyal listener, is always – he's like, you always screw it up. So this week here, this is week four. Next week, we're doing week three. Week of the 24th is week two. Yes. Yes. We did it. We did get it correct. That's great news. So, Missouri Tigers, I don't need to tell you how important this game is for Mississippi State. I'll bring it up with the interview with Callum McAndrew. Mississippi State has not won a home SEC game since November 5th of 2022 when they beat Auburn. That is three full seasons of their fans coming to Starkville, coming to Davis-Wade Stadium in SEC games and not being able to see a win. That is a trend that has to be erased, and it has to start here with this Missouri game. Incredibly important game for Mississippi State. Let's learn a little bit more about the Tigers with our friend Callum McAndrew of the Columbia Tribune. All of our interviews here on the show, as you know, are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. Recovery. It's just as important as the run you make, the weights you lift, the exercise that you do. It's a huge part of staying healthy. Allura Modern Wellness are recovery experts, and they're here to help you make sure your body feels its best. The only way to continue to work out the way you want to is to make sure you recover the way that you have to. Give my friends at Allura Modern Wellness a call today at 662-268-9255 or visit them online at AlluraModernWellness.com. You can book all of your services right there online. Allura Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Callum McAndrew of the Columbia Tribune, previewing the Missouri Tigers. Mississippi State hosts Missouri on September 26th, first SEC home game of the campaign. Callum McAndrew joins us from the Columbia Tribune. He's been covering the Tigers, been on the podcast with us a number of times. We'll start with the most obvious question regarding Missouri. What is the status of Ahmad Hardy going into the preseason camp?
Yeah, so over at SEC Media Days, we finally got a tentative timeline where Eli Drinkwitz said, you know, so for those who don't know, Ahmad Hardy was shot in the femur, in the upper leg. The bullet did hit his bone, but the word we're hearing is that he has made a full recovery from that. And the expectation is that he probably will play football this season. There is a much better chance of that than there was, say, 2-3 months ago when we just didn't know. So Eli Drinkwitz comes out at SC Media Days and puts a 5 to 8 week return to play protocol on his potential comeback. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean we'll see him in 5 to 8 weeks. That's just when they think they can get him back into, like, real game day football activities and possibly see his possible return to the field. That timeline, 5 to 8 weeks from when Drinkwitz said that, is approximately Missouri's season opener to, this is notable for you, to the SEC opener.
This is my next question, yes.
Date. So, you know, if he is, and look, there's no protocol for this type of injury. There's no handbook on how to navigate getting shot in on a leg bone, you know, so this is very much still up in the air. We don't know exactly when Ahmad Hardy is going to be back. We haven't seen him in fall camp so far, which was expected. You know, he's still going through the rehab and still doing a lot of stuff on his own. So, you know, it's very much still up in the air, but I think there's a better chance that we see him this season and possibly by that Mississippi State game than there was in June or May.
And even when you look at him, I mean, look at who Missouri brought to Media Days and Jamal Roberts.
Right.
If this has been a thing in Missouri, they just know how to run the football up there.
Yeah.
You know, the past few years, they've been one of the best running teams in the country. It feels like Hardy being there, obviously great. He's one of the best running backs in the country. But this is not a team that's just going to stop running the football because he's not playing.
No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, like, do not get me wrong. I think Ahmad Hardy is the best running back in college football. You know, you can put, there's certainly other options up there like Jaden Ball and Kawan Lacey. But from what I mean, I'm obviously very close to watching Ahmad Hardy all the time. But it's just, he's a spectacular football player and great for the sport if he can come back. If he is not able to make those first few weeks of the season, Missouri isn't really going to suffer too much, I don't think. Jamal Roberts is a running back who could start for a lot of SEC programs. He is an He was an excellent change of pace guy for them. While Ahmad Hardy was breaking single season rushing records for Missouri, he still ran for 750 yards and six touchdowns last year, Jamal Roberts. I mean, he is a very capable running back who's been in the system for a long time. And as you mentioned, it's a system that works. They run that stretch outside zone, and man, they can run I'm not going to say the word that's coming to mind. They run the football real well. I mean, they are absolutely excellent at it under Drinkwitz. I mean, three of the SEC's leading rushers in the past 5 years is evidence of that. Obviously, they want Ahmad Hardy back, but I really think if this ends up being Jamal Roberts' backfield, I don't see them falling off of a cliff in the run game. I do think, especially with more of a passing quarterback, they hope now that might even open up some more avenues for them. They haven't had that in the last couple of seasons. They've relied on excellent running backs to get them those yards. But he's a very good football player.
And you mentioned all those running backs, and Kiwon Lacy was there as well. It
Yeah.
could have been the next guy in line for the Tigers. You mentioned the quarterback. I was shocked that he didn't come to Media Days. He came with Ole Miss
Yeah.
a season ago, did Austin Simmons. Were you surprised by that?
Yes and no. I think for the most part, transfer quarterbacks are not seeing the SEC Media Day stage, and I do understand that. You don't, if you can dull the sensationalism around your new quarterback as much as possible, I think that's a good thing for programs. But every time I've talked to Austin Simmons so far, he's an excellent speaker. He's a lot of fun to talk to. Seems like a
That's what
really good dude.
surprised me because I
I
talked to
was a
him
little
last
bit
year. I was like, this kid's sharp.
right, and but you know the guys that Missouri did bring are program veterans. They're people that kind of know that they're you know, I mean, it's very cliche in college football, but they do know what the standard is here, and they do know what this program and the culture they're trying to develop is here. And Caden Green, Nicholas Rodriguez, and Jamal Roberts, guys who have been in the program for multiple years, so it didn't necessarily surprise me. But I think anytime you don't bring your quarterback, it makes for a talking point.
What about this offense? Where do you have questions about them?
It begins with Simmons. Look, I mean, if you want to look at Austin Simmons and see someone who is going to change the trajectory of this offense, you can find those things. If you want to look and have a more glass half empty approach to what there is here, you can find those things too. I mean, this guy, he's played less college football snaps than Missouri's freshman who was thrown to the wolves last year because of a pair of injuries in the room. You know, he's played less college football technically than him. He's seen less downs than Matt Zollers. So there's an experience question there. You know, we don't know who Austin Simmons is under the light. Yes, he started a couple of games last year, but a 12-game season, especially in the 9-game SEC schedule era, that's a different beast. So we don't know who, when those lights get really bright, when the adversity hits, we don't know who Austin Simmons is going to be yet. And I think that's one of the major questions facing them. If you want to take the opposite view, he's a better passer than Bo Perbiula was. He is probably a better passer than Brady Cook was. You know, everything that we hear about him is that this arm has magnificent potential, and it's just going to be whether that potential translates. The other big question for Missouri is the defense. They're turning over 10 starters. I like a lot of the pieces they've brought in, but they are relying on, you know, in this era where proven production is so valuable, they are relying a lot more on promise. So that's another question for me. But I think that the major question is going to be, and the one that is really going to define what Missouri can be this season, I think it's Austin Simmons and how he adjusts to being the guy.
What about this Missouri offensive line? Caden Green, obviously a potential All-American, but a couple of transfer pieces from Mississippi State in the mix there from Missouri. Are they going to be able to sustain the kind of offensive output they've had the past few years?
I think when you look at the core of what Missouri returns, they should be really encouraged there. You've got Caden Green, who's played a ton of college football. You've got Dominic Giudice, who has been excellent, and he's moving over to center. They've got Curtis Piegler, who's one of the biggest people I've ever seen in my life, at right guard. And then you bring it in and you're supplementing with these transfers. Looks like Luke Work, who was at Mississippi State, he's currently in from what I've seen in camp, leading the race to be the right tackle. They like the offseason that he had. I know he kind of played all over the line for Mississippi State, played multiple positions. Looks like they're going to try and slot him in at right tackle there if he wins that competition. Heard nothing but good things. You hear nothing but good things about most people at this time of year, but they do seem to be pretty encouraged by him. And then Zach Owens, the other Mississippi State transfer, he's currently in a competition at left guard with another 5-year player from Missouri, a guy who's been in the system for a really long time. So there's a lot of, there are a couple of new pieces, but when you look at it from a size and experience standpoint, they've got players that have just seen a lot of college football. And I think that's really all you're looking for up front when there is going to be turnover every year, when you know that you are going to lose pieces, when you're going to have to make those changes. They do have a ton of experience. It's one of the rooms I'm most confident about this year on the Missouri roster.
You said you had some questions about the Missouri defense. Where are they strong?
Oh, the strongest room on their defense is going to be their linebackers. I mean, they've got two young guys who just look absolute. They look the part. They look ready to start playing college football. They've got Nicholas Rodriguez, who's a team captain and was one of their leading tacklers last season. I really think he's going to be a name to know in the SEC this year. And then they supplemented it with Robert Woodyard, who had an excellent season at Auburn last year. They're going to be really, really strong there. I think they have been very good at stopping the run under Corey Batum. That has been a real strong point for this defense. There's a lot of change up front, but I think just schematically they have been really effective at doing that. And when you look at the size and just kind of the measurables of who they've got up front, I think that's going to be a strong point again for them. The question is whether they're going to be able to generate any pressure in the pass rush. I think that's, you lose guys like Zion Young, who was I mean, just a total game wrecker, and you lose Damon Wilson, who went to Miami, an excellent pass rusher. There's questions there. There's you never know what is going to be the replacement there. Again, they've got players that you can be encouraged by, but until we see it in the games, it's somewhere that I'm going to be, putting a question mark.
So obviously a lot of transfers. That's just everybody's, everybody's that way now. Is there a true freshman that could make an impact for Missouri this year?
I think so. It's going to be in the secondary, which is where they've had the most turnover. I mean, you're looking at three safeties from last year. All three of the cornerbacks who were part of the rotation, they all moved on to either at the NFL or the transfer portal. There is a safety out of Des Moines, Jaden McGregory, who has come in just looking ready. He just, it's you can kind of just see it when he's out there on the field that this is somebody who doesn't look like he's really going to skip a beat from high school to college. College ready frame. They've got him running with the twos at times in camp. There's a lot of, there's a lot of chopping and changing there right now. I think they are still working through some combinations and working out who their best options are there. But I think he's probably the name to watch, Jaden McGregory. I think he could be a. If not this season, I think we'll see a lot of him pretty soon.
It feels like Missouri is the team now in the SEC that people are going to point to. They haven't been to the playoff. Ole Miss made it last year. Alabama made it last year. Tennessee has been this. It feels like Missouri is either going to take that step forward and get into the playoff, or they're going to maybe take a step back because there's so much new this year in Columbia. Where do you land with this team? How good can they be?
I think. If you get Ahmad Hardy healthy and Austin Simmons is everything you hope for, and that the defense doesn't take a step back from the excellent level it's been at for the past couple of years, I think you're looking at a team that can play some meaningful games in November. And I think that really has to be the goal for this team, is to get to that last stretch and still have something in sight there at the end of the tunnel. Still have something that you're something meaningful that you're playing for as you go into what is going to be a really difficult November. They've got Georgia, Oklahoma, and Texas in November. I mean, it's a brutal stretch, but if you can reach those games and have something to play for, I think that would indicate a pretty successful season for me. I stop short of calling this a playoff team right now. I do think there are too many questions that need to be answered. They've been very, very close. And this is something Eli Drinkwitz has talked about, is how do you make that step from being a good team? And Missouri, don't get it wrong. Missouri's been a good team for the last 3 years. They've
Sure.
won 29 games in the last three seasons. That is not easy to do at the SEC level. But how do they make that step from good to great? And I think a lot of things would have to go right, especially with this schedule. I mean, I said Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma. They've also got Ole Miss on the road. They've got Mississippi State on the road, which I think is going to end up being a very telling game in this season. I think it immediately becomes one
Both
of the more
teams, yeah.
important games for both teams. They've got Florida. I mean, it is. They've got Texas A&M, who they've just been unable to even be competitive against for the last few years. It's a tough schedule, and I fall short of saying that this could be a team that we see in the playoff.
I mentioned it the last time we talked, this summer, that Mississippi State has not won a home SEC game since November 5th, 2022. This is State's first opportunity to do that. The pressure is on for Mississippi State, and it'll obviously be on for Missouri as well. Callum, we'll talk to you again in about a month or so when we get closer to this one.
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
Huge game. Now, the X factor, it's a little early for X factors, but it is Ahmad Hardy. Is he going to play? I don't think Missouri just becomes this one-dimensional team if he can't play. Jamal Roberts is a very good back, as we talked about, but not having to face Ahmad Hardy would be a very big good thing for Mississippi State, because gosh almighty, did he torch Mississippi State a year ago? You'd like to not see that guy out there if you can avoid it. Certainly want him to be healthy and have a great season. But from a Mississippi State perspective, if you can miss him, you're doing good. If State was playing them week three, I'd feel a lot better about that. It feels like by week four, he might be out there. But who knows, is he going to be good to go? Is he going to be full go, 20 plus carries? I don't know the answer to that. What I do know is this: for Mississippi State to do what they want to do this season, beating Missouri almost certainly has to be on the cards. We've talked a few times, and let's just kind of like play through the schedule, right? We've said State needs to be 3-1 at the end of September, right? That's the minimum. That's the bare bones. If State's 3-0 when they play Missouri, I feel like they're going to win that game, right? You feel like there's going to be a lot of excitement, big crowd, night game at Davis-Wade Stadium. Feels like that would be a game State would win. So it becomes like, if they're going to be 3-1, then they have to beat Missouri, because we're saying they're going to lose to either Minnesota or South Carolina. Reality, the best case 3-1 scenario is to lose to South Carolina. That's a forgivable one. You lose to Minnesota and you're 1-1, people are just gonna be like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. You go be 2-0. And again, this is like I said, your best case 3-1 scenario. The actual best case scenario is to win all four. But if you lose to South Carolina, look, South Carolina's a good team. You're Mississippi State and South Carolina, not that huge a difference in the talent. You lose a game on the road, it's fine. You come back, you bounce back, you win the game against Missouri, you're 3-1. I think everybody's still okay. Everybody's still very much on board. But you're going to have to beat Missouri. That is a game that Mississippi State absolutely must win. They have to get an SEC home win, because if they don't, it's going to be November again. Because I don't think they're going to beat Alabama, and I don't think they're going to beat Oklahoma. They've got to find a way to win that game. All right, Carlo back with us tomorrow. We'll record after we talk to Lebby on Sunday. So it'll be a little later in the evening, but we'll get that podcast up, and we'll have spoken to Jeff Lebby about what he saw at scrimmage number one of preseason camp. Plus, also today on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed, another one of our interviews from the Not Fall Camp Tour, Coach Brian O'Connor was kind enough to join us to talk a little bit about his summer, his offseason. No crypto jokes. Didn't make any. Thought about it. Thought about just slipping one in there, but I'll let it go. I'll let it go. So you can listen to that on today's podcast feed as well. One more thing before I go. And you may notice I'm wearing a different shirt. I'd forgotten about this, and then I remembered, and I don't want to let people down. You can't always get a shout out on Thunder and Lightning. I'm just not going to do those willy-nilly, but if you're a family member, you can get a shout out, or you can give a shout out. In other words, you can tell me, hey, would you mind doing this? And I'll say yes, because you're a family member. So my niece, Haley, is a student at Warren Central High School in my hometown of Vicksburg. And she texted me yesterday. She messaged me on Facebook. She's like, hey, Uncle Brian, my fourth block teacher at Warren Central High is a huge fan of Thunder and Lightning. His classroom is right beside the legend Josh Morgan, who, of course, is the football coach now at Warren Central, keeping that family tradition very much alive, defending 6A state champs, I believe. His son, Nash Morgan, committed to Mississippi State. They're always talking about MSU sports. He wants me to put in a good word for him. He wanted to get on the podcast, and he would give her a 100 test grade in return. And I said, a guest spot's a lot. I don't know that I could just do that. But how much will we give you for a shout out? So, Jake Parker, Warren Central Baseball and Football, here's your shout out, courtesy of Thunder and Lightning, and of course, courtesy of my niece, Haley. So, I expect the quid pro quo to go through there. And if I find out otherwise, we're going to have some issues. I got no problem coming down to Vicksburg. I know where Warren Central High School is. Let's get down there and let's get that taken care of. Appreciate you, Haley. Tell him I'm glad that he was listening. All right, well, guys, have a great weekend. And we're only what, a few weeks away. Today is the 13th, right? Tomorrow's the today as you're listening is the 14th. That means we are 21 days away from three P's, guys. Preview, playmakers, and predictions. It's coming. It's coming. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you guys are as well. Have a great weekend. Talk to you again soon. For Carla Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Supercar. This is it.
Supertalk Mississippi Media Production.